for argument is Gonzalez-Gomez versus Occam. Mr. Andre.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm John Andre for the government. This case presents a pure issue of statutory interpretation. The definition of a drug trafficking crime under 18 U.S.C. 924C is any felony punishable under the Controlled Substances Act. The Controlled Substances Act, in turn, defines a felony as any federal or state offense that is classified under federal or state law as a felony. And there's no dispute in this case that Mr. Gonzalez's Illinois drug possession offense is classified as a felony under Illinois law. The court needn't go no further than that to conclude that this constitutes an aggravated felony drug trafficking crime. What's happening in what the argument that petitioner is attempting to make here and the argument that the federal courts, four of the federal courts have adopted, is essentially a policy argument. It's a policy argument that the board had actually imposed on these cases.
I don't understand. So isn't the critical question what this term felony punishable under the Controlled Substance Act means?
Yes, Your Honor.
Wouldn't the normal reading of that be, yes, a felony punishable under the Controlled Substances Act would be conduct for which you could be indicted and prosecuted for violating the Controlled Substances Act?
I would agree with that, yes. Not necessarily a felony under the Controlled Substances Act.
No, I don't understand you. Felony punishable under the Controlled Substances Act means you could be indicted for a felony violation of the Controlled Substances Act.
Well, if that phrase were read in isolation, I think possibly that would be a plausible interpretation. But the complication here is that the definition of a felony under the Controlled Substances Act includes violations of state law.
Well, for many purposes, that's fine. Yes, felony, state felony is a felony. But the only issue is the meaning of felony punishable under the Controlled Substances Act, and the conduct of this fellow was not punishable as a felony under the Controlled Substances Act. It wasn't a federal felony.
Well, but it was punishable under the Controlled
Substances Act. And also, I don't understand you. The cases we've had previously involve the government arguing that they can reclassify a state misdemeanor as an aggravated felony for immigration purposes. Now all of a sudden you turn around and say, oh no, it's not. We're not imposing a uniform federal, and we uphold that when you do that. Now you say you're not imposing a uniform federal concept. You're instead fragmenting this, and you're allowing states basically to decide who's deported. That seems very contrary to your general position, government's general position.
There's an important difference, though, Judge Posner, and that is that in the other cases that you're referring to, there is a perhaps a disagreement as far as what can constitute what is an aggravated felony and whether or not a state misdemeanor can be an aggravated
felony. And that's resolved by the government, and we go along with that as saying aggravated felony is a federal concept, not a state. You're not bound by how a state classifies conduct. They can call it a misdemeanor, you can call it a felony. Well, the shoe is on the other foot, right? This is the state calls this a felony, but the federal statute seems not to, because the federal statute talks about felonies punishable under the Controlled Substances Act, and this is not a felony punishable under the Controlled Substances Act.
I mean, clearly, you cannot
punish this as a felony under the you can't indict a person for a felony offense under the Controlled Substances Act for this person's conduct.
Look, if I may, Your Honor, one of the reasons that we're here today is that six circuits have essentially disagreed with what you're saying.
Right, but we're being asked to make an independent judgment, not just to salute the other circuits. One of the things I find extremely puzzling about the other circuits is their insistence that this is a plain language case.
Mm-hmm.
When I read felony punishable under the Controlled Substances Act to mean conduct that could be charged as a felony under the Controlled Substances Act, which this couldn't be.
I
don't understand. What about the government's uniformity arguments that we should have one standard for deportation, not 50 standards?
Well, the uniformity.
If Illinois decides to call a felony possessing one molecule of cocaine, out the person goes. Even though the federal government doesn't regard this as a federal offense.
Well, again, the uniformity argument is essentially out the window at this point anyway, because it's out the window because the board, for one thing, has abandoned that approach. The board did want to impose a uniform federal definition in the pre-Yanez Garcia cases, but the board has now withdrawn that position. It was a policy position. It was essentially a reading of a policy, a fiction reading of the statute to impose uniformity and not defer to the various
states. Well, it's more than a reading of the statute. You know, it's like bankruptcy. We don't have state deportation. Illinois can't say we don't like people who have minute quantities of drugs, so we're going to send them, you know, some other country, right? You can't do that. You don't have state deportation. So why should the state policy, classification as a felony or misdemeanor, why should that govern deportation?
Well, again, the states can differ as far as how they want to punish and how they want to view a particular
drug. Of course, but states don't have the power of banishment. That's a federal power.
Yes, but the states there's a good reason for deferring to the states.
No, but you do it the opposite. When it's the question of whether something is an aggravated felony that's classified as a misdemeanor under state law, you say, we're not going to pay any attention to that. The fact that Illinois classifies something as a misdemeanor, that has no weight at all.
But again, if we can just refer the court beyond just the language of 924C.
Well, wait a second. What is the consistency there? If it's a state misdemeanor, you reclassify it as an aggravated felony. If it's a state felony, but not a federal felony, you reclassify the federal misdemeanor is reclassified as a state felony.
The difference here, which I'm trying to get to, is that the statute actually defines.
No, the statute doesn't help you at all, because the natural reading of the statute, and of course the history of the statute, is that it's talking about someone who can be punished under the Controlled Substances Act for a felony, which this person can't be.
Well, I'm reading 21 U.S.C. 802.13, which further defines what a felony is. And
for various purposes. It doesn't have to be for the same purpose.
Well, again, I don't think I'm going to persuade
you.
What
are the other purposes? There are other purposes for which it's called a felony.
But Section 924C defines.
Your position doesn't make any sense. Explain to me why it makes sense to promote state misdemeanors into federal felonies, but to promote federal misdemeanors into state felonies. Does that make sense, or is that just some creature of crazy statutory draftsmanship?
Well, no, it makes sense because in this instance, this is a situation where Congress is deferring to the state definition, and there are some situations where Congress does want to impose a federal definition. For instance, the definition of what a conviction is. Congress has completely occupied that field and enacted a federal definition of what is a conviction. And here, it has done the opposite. It has created a definition of a drug trafficking crime that includes both federal and state offenses and felonies under federal or state law.
It's the same provision. You know, it's this Section 43 of 8, 11. You say term aggravated felony means murder, rape, or sexual abuse of a minor. Now we know that when a state classifies a particular form of sexual abuse of a minor as a misdemeanor, you promote it to an aggravated felony. We've upheld that. It's the very next section which talks about illicit trafficking and controlled substance, define the Controlled Substances Act. And when you go to the Controlled Substances Act, it talks about conduct punishable as a felony under the Controlled Substances Act.
But I may answer
this
the question.
Isn't punishable as a felony under the Controlled Substances Act.
And again, if I may...
It may be a felony under the Controlled, but it's not punishable as a felony under the Controlled Act. It's punishable only as a misdemeanor.
I'd just simply say that the statute, as what many of the courts have specifically said, if Congress meant that what Your Honor is saying as the definition of a controlled substance violation, Congress would have said any felony any offense punishable as a felony under the Controlled Substances Act, not any felony punishable under the Controlled Substances Act.
I don't see the difference.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Andre. Mr. Reka?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Kevin Reka. I represent the petitioner, appellee, Rafael Gonzalez-Gomez. As a first matter, I'd like to address the government's argument regarding deference to the state's judgment of what is a felony or not. Certainly, the state has the power to classify a crime as a felony, but as Judge Posner has already stated, we don't let the states decide who should be deported or not. The Controlled Substances Act punishes crimes which have elements constituting a federal felony. Mr. Gonzalez-Gomez's crime of simple possession of cocaine in Illinois does not constitute elements which are a felony under the Controlled Substances Act, and thus it is not a crime which is punishable under the Controlled Substances Act. It is therefore not an aggravated felony. Mr. Gonzalez-Gomez remains eligible to apply for relief in the form of cancellation of removal. To defer to each state's classification of a crime would be to allow each state to determine which legal permanent residents of the United States who are convicted of crimes are eligible for relief and which aren't. That is Congress's job, not the individual state legislatures. This Court and the Supreme Court have repeatedly stressed the need for uniformity and equity in the implementation of the immigration laws. Specifically, this Court has done so in the context of the aggravated felony provisions of the Immigration and Nationality Act in Solorzano-Potlan and Martinez-Garcia. Petitioner does not see how this case differs in its requirement for uniformity and equity and agrees substantially with the points put forward by Judge Posner and with those put forward by Judge Aspin in his habeas decision, by the Third Circuit in Gurbier v. Holmes, the Ninth Circuit in Cazares v. Gutierrez, and the Sixth Circuit in Palacio Suarez. In Palacio Suarez, the Sixth Circuit addressed the language of the CSA and found that if Congress truly wanted to include state felonies as felonies punishable under the Controlled Substances Act, it could have created language such as punishable under the Controlled Substances Act and constituting a felony under either federal or state law. Congress did not do so. There are different provisions in the Controlled Substances Act which create an ambiguity as to exactly what Congress meant by a felony punishable. When the legislative history is looked at, which is looked at extensively in the cases that have come before the other circuits and before Judge Aspin in this case, there is great support for the idea that Congress intended only felonies which were felonies under the Controlled Substances Act, federal felonies, that is, to be punishable.
Why does the Controlled Substances Act say that felony means federal or state? What function does that serve?
Well, my understanding, Your Honor, is that Congress was attempting to provide for the possibility for sentencing enhancement if a state crime had been convicted, which was a state felony, and that if you look at the 1988 and 1990 amendments, Congress was broadening what types of federal crimes and then what types of state crimes would be included for those purposes, but not broadening the definition of what type of felony.
Are you saying that for enhancement purposes, the fact that this conduct, which the federal government defines as a misdemeanor, is a felony under state law, that could be used to for a felony enhancement? Is that the idea?
There, circuits that have addressed this issue have held that way. The Sixth Circuit found to the contrary, finding that the language of the statute dictated that only felonies which were federal felonies could qualify for sentencing enhancements and for the aggravated felony provisions of the Immigration and Nationality Act. I believe the Sixth Circuit's interpretation of the statute was correct in that regard.
But then what function did they assign to the fact that felony had been defined as state as well as federal felony?
The function that the Sixth Circuit assigned was the idea of the hypothetical federal felony test, that state crimes would, that Congress was attempting to include state crimes and not merely federal crimes. Prior to 1988, only federal crimes were included, and that Congress was attempting to broaden the range of crimes by including state crimes whose elements constituted felonies under the Controlled Substances Act.
Oh, so you're saying if someone were actually punished for a state felony that would also have been a federal felony, but he just happened to be punished for the state felony, that would be used for the enhancement? Is that the idea?
I believe prior to the amendments, that is what would have been the case, Your Honor, yes.
And you mentioned that the other circuits have relied on the legislative history. And one of the arguments that your opponent makes is that the legislative history actually supports the guidelines state felony approach. After all, Congress eliminated an express limitation of federal felonies in Section 924 in the same law that made a drug trafficking crime an aggravated felony under INA. Shouldn't we presume that it really means any felony?
Well, I think if we look at the congressional history of the amendments, and I believe you're referring to the 1990 amendments, Your Honor.
Yes.
When Congress amended, that was via the Immigration Act of 1990 amendments, what Congress did, when we look at the House Judiciary Committee report, is codify the BIA's holding in Matter of Barrett, which had set forth the idea that the state crime could be included, but it had to be analogous to the elements which constituted a federal felony. Specifically, the House Judiciary Committee approved a Matter of Barrett and stated that it wanted to avoid further litigation on this issue, which obviously it did not do, but they were adopting the board's analysis of the 1988 amendments and attempting to codify them. And of course, that shows that Congress is aware of the board's decision of Barrett and subsequent amendments to the INA following the board's decision in Barrett and the extension of that decision in Davis, LG, and KVD support the idea that Congress is aware of the BIA's actions and approved of those interpretations. If there is nothing further, rest my argument here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Raker. Mr. Andre, your time has expired, but since you were peppered with questions, you can have another few minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. The legislative history is important, and especially in light of the Sixth Circuit decision, Palacios-Suarez relied almost exclusively on legislative history to reach its conclusion. And the flaw in Petitioner's argument in this case is that when Congress enacted the 1990 amendment to the INA definition, it is correct that it did adopt the reasoning of Matter of Barrett. However, Matter of Barrett itself did not create or impose this hypothetical felony rule. All that Matter of Barrett said was that if somebody is convicted of a state offense, if it's analogous to the federal definition of a Controlled Substances Act, then it can be an aggravated felony. Barrett did not say that it has to be analogous to a felony violation of the Controlled Substances Act. The board did not adopt the hypothetical felony rule until 2 years later in Matter of Davis. So it's Congress's action in 1990 amending the INA definition to include state crimes did not include an adoption of the hypothetical felony rule. So in that sense, the court's reliance on legislative history and petitioner's reliance on
legislative... But it's one thing to say, well, federal felony, state felony, if the state felony has the same elements, we'll treat it as if it were a federal felony. That makes perfectly good sense. But it seems so odd to say, well, it's only a federal misdemeanor, but if it's a state felony, we'll treat it as a federal felony. I don't understand that.
Well, I don't necessarily agree that
it's... Is there some logic to it, or is this just...
Well, the logic, again, is simply that if the wording of the statute is any felony, and that includes state or federal felonies, and that's...
See, in the reverse case, you know, with the sexual abuse that we went through, you can say, well, you know, there's a federal judgment here that even though a state thinks it's a misdemeanor, we take it more seriously. That's a federal judgment. Here, the only federal judgment is that this guy's conduct is misdemeanor, not a felony. So why would a federal government say, well, we think it's just a misdemeanor, but since Illinois thinks it's a felony, we're going to deport this person? Is there some rationality there?
There are different criteria imposed by different states on what...
But isn't it sort of one federal government, so that if Congress in Title 18 says, well, this is not our idea of a felony, this is just a misdemeanor, then should the Immigration Service, which is also part of the Department of Justice, which enforces Title 18, shouldn't it say, yes, well, for our purposes, too, it's just a misdemeanor?
Well, for policy justification for deferring to the states is that, and this is one of the reasons that the board rejected the hypothetical felony rule in Yanez Garcia, and that is that you get into very convoluted analyses in determining whether a particular state offense actually meets the definition of a felony under federal law. There's all different kinds of permutations.
But that's exactly what you do in the sexual abuse setting.
Well,
you look at a misdemeanor under state law, and you say, are those the elements that would be, a felony under federal law?
With respect, in those cases where we're dealing with other types of crimes, we usually have some, either through the statute or through the case law, through the judicial case law, we have a generic definition of what the aggravated felony offense is, and it's not so difficult to take the state offense and plug it into the federal definition.
But you'd think better than a generic federal offense would be the definition of the federal felony.
And again,
the statute. You got
that,
right?
Congress has specifically
said. So it's very easy to say, here's our federal drug felony, and here's what the state court found or charged. And do they match? I'm sorry.
We're searching for what the consistency is here, and it seems to me that the only real consistency is that the government's interpretation of either of these propositions winds up with the greater number of people being subject to deportation. That's the consistency.
Not necessarily.
There's nobody that slips through the net under either of the interpretations.
No, because federal government does defer to the states, and the states decide that we're going to start punishing, we're going to liberalize our laws and eliminate the felony definition and start punishing them as misdemeanors, then that there would be deference to that too. So it really depends on how the state wants to punish the offense.
And there was some mention earlier of Section 802.13 and how the Third Circuit said that it defined felony under the Act only for the purpose of sentencing enhancements rather than the substantive offense, and that we should look instead at 3559 for the definition of felony. How do you respond to that argument?
It's not a valid analysis, Your Honor, because...
Why not?
Because the 924C definition incorporates the Controlled Substances Act, and Section 802.13 is part of the Controlled Substances Act. So if we're going to impose the Controlled Substances Act and interpret it, we have to have the definition section also. And the definition section defines what constitutes a felony.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr.
Andre,
and thank you to Mr. Reka.